Today we're starting a little series in the book of Philippians, and over the next few weeks you'll hear different voices speaking from that. I'm starting it off today, but you'll hear John and you'll hear Sheila and Daniel and Emma all going to sort of take a part in this, and we're just going to journey through it. It's a relatively short book, some of you will be pleased to know. And if you don't know where it is, you can find it towards the end of the Bible. If you've got one of these, would you call that green or blue? Blue? Turquoise. See, I get told off. I never know my colour. You're turquoise. Yeah, you're wearing similar trousers. It's on page 1178. Thank you. And while you're finding that, just to explain, really, that the Bible is made up of many different books and written over quite a long period of time, but a lot of the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, the second half of it, really, was written by a man named Paul, who was a convert to Christianity. He was adamantly against the church in his early life, and he literally went out to try and destroy the church. He was a very zealous man and a Jewish man, and he had this encounter with Jesus as he was walking down the road one day, and a radical conversion. And for me, there's many things that convince me of Christianity, but actually just reading the letters of Paul convinced me of Christianity, that it is true, because here is a man who is out to kill the church, if you like. And somehow, God spoke to him, and he completely turned around, so that he then became a planter of churches. And you could almost say, in one way, I wonder whether the church would have been where it was if it wasn't Paul. He did so much stuff in the early years. And to see how he radically left everything behind to follow Jesus, that to me is evidence enough that actually this is true. He had such a radical conversion. I mean, there's many other things I could say, but for me, Paul's testimony is a strong reason why I believe. So anyway, I'm going to read the first few verses of Philippians. So anyway, final thing to say. So Paul went on these journeys and he planted churches, he started churches in many different places, and then he would write letters to them. And this is one of those letters to a place called Philippi. Which is in Greece, modern-day Greece. Here we go. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of and praise of God. So I want us to try and get into character a little bit here. I want you to imagine you're in Philippi, this place in modern-day Greece, and Paul has already visited this town, or you may have met him, but you're now receiving this letter from him. And imagine at the time, in that world, there would have been many different faiths, not unlike it is today, really, in a way. There would have been many different gods, at the very least, Greek gods and Roman gods. And kind of almost all of a sudden on the scene is there's this new religion. We call it Christianity now, but in those days they would have called it the Way, or they would have called the Nazarenes. And they were considered a sect, which is never a good thing, I don't think. But it was a new religion at the time. And I guess Jesus would have been seen as a new God. And in many ways, in those days, you probably would have thought, well, you've got Zeus and you've got all these other Greek gods and what have you, and then you've got Jesus, and there are all these, you know, take your pick. A bit like pick and mix in the sweet department. And so, in a sense, if you're in the church in Philippi, who this is written to, you're in a new faith. You're in a new religion, the Jesus faith, the way, a new beginning for people, a different and a new religion. So I guess that could be quite exciting. Yeah, that's... And that's what's going on here. But Paul starts his letter, as well as it being a new faith, he starts his letter in an interesting way. He says to these people that he obviously dearly loves, he says, to all God's holy people. To all God's holy people. Now that may sound like a nice sort of spiritual way of addressing or beginning a letter. But he's speaking to these people who are seen as having this new faith, but he's actually saying something that deeply roots who they are in a much older tradition. See, Christianity was a new beginning, but it is also a continuation of God's covenant and promise to people that goes all the way back to Abraham, which was 1800 years or so before this time. And so when Paul says to God's holy people, speaking to the church, people like you and me, I don't know if you look around and think, oh, this is a holy bunch. But he would say that to us, to God's holy people. It's encouraging, but it's also a way of saying, these are my people that I have chosen right back, all the way back to Abraham. So actually, whilst this is a new religion at the time, Paul is saying, this is also a very old faith. This is the faith that goes back to Abraham. The holy people of God is a title only reserved until that point for the Jews. They were God's holy people, chosen, anointed people. But now the followers of Jesus are being called God's holy people. And that's a pretty amazing title. And I think it's something we need to take hold of as the church, that we are God's holy people. You may think, oh, well, I'm not very good, or I'm not perfect. Well, it doesn't mean about being perfect or pure in one sense. It's really speaking about us being chosen by God, set apart by God for his purposes. So, through Jesus, and it is only through Jesus, the church, as we call it now, has a unique calling in the world today. There's a song we sing, isn't it, where it says, we are the church, we are the hope of this world. Thank you, yeah. And that really comes from this idea that we are a holy people. There's nowhere else in the world where God is working to minister to the world other than through the people of the church. That sounds like a bold, arrogant claim on the one hand, but I'm not making it. God is saying it. I'm just reading you what he is speaking through Paul here. I'm not saying that I think I'm special or we're special. I'm saying that God says we are a holy people. So, we read this and we can take encouragement from that. It's also quite a big sort of responsibility to take on, but I'm sure God will help us. So, you read this letter and you realize it's not written to just any old people. It's not written to the world at large, the world outside, but it's written specific to God's holy people. And it's also not written to just individual Christians. It's written to the church as a whole. It says to all God's holy people. Not just to Keith, or not just to John or to Leslie as individuals, but he's written this to the whole church. So the whole church needs to hear it together. So as we read this through the next few weeks, let's listen to it as a church as well as individuals. God's holy people. It's written to us. Anyway, there's the introduction. This is who the letter is addressed to. One of the most famous verses, I think, from Philippians, or one of the famous verses, is in verse 6 here, and I don't know, it's famous to me anyway. One of those things, yeah. I'm famous in my own house, you know, and possibly down my road. But beyond that, I'm not that famous. But anyway, to me, this is a famous verse. I'll read it. It says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And it's a really encouraging. I love that. I mean, if you don't know that as a famous verse, make it one of your famous verses, okay? It's a great verse, and I think we can apply it to ourselves personally, and we can take courage that, you know, when we receive Christ and we begin our faith, God starts doing something good in us, but it's not finished. It's continuing to carry on in us. And so there's this new creation work in us that carries on in each one of us until the day Jesus comes back and we're renewed completely in him. But you remember, there's another scripture that says we're being renewed inwardly day by day. And there's that idea that God is doing, whether you realize it or not, God is doing something in your life in a good way each day. And we can, and I think it's a very encouraging verse, and a lot of us will read that and receive some encouragement from it. But I just want to say, I don't think this is primarily speaking to us as individuals. This is speaking to the church, all of God's holy people. And it's like saying that the work that God started in the church, he will continue that good work until the day of completion. And what that means is, and this can be a little bit disconcerting sometimes, is that the church should never be a static, stationary, fixed institution. You know, where things are always the same and that's that. Yes, we hold on to some truths that we hold on to that do not change, things about God. But what God does in the church is a moving thing, which is exciting but also a little bit unsettling sometimes. None of us really like change. But the church is a place where people in and whom God is continuing to do his good work. And it reminded me of this verse that God spoke to us at the beginning of the year. Remember it? It says, "The Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see my word is fulfilled.'" What that says to me is that God didn't fulfill the word straight away. He says something or promised something, and then he works it out. I don't know if you've noticed in your lives, but you haven't become perfect yet. Yeah? I mean, hands up if you have. But there's a process by which God is working something in us. I don't know if you realize this, but also God hasn't shown you everything about himself all in one go. Yeah, it's an ongoing, it's always a story. I don't know if you've noticed, actually, the Bible was written over a period of time. It wasn't all just sort of downloaded in one kind of USB stick, memory stick thing at the beginning. But we start off with Genesis, and then it carries on and carries on and carries on. And the whole way that God reveals himself is a process. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way God works. I think primarily because God showed us everything about himself all in one go, we'd just explode, you know. It just would be too much for our heads, it'd be too much for our bodies, it'd be too much for everything. So it's a bit-by-bit thing. But sometimes we lose sight of actually that things are happening because sometimes it's almost too slow for us. But actually, here is the encouraging thing, that God is continuing the good thing that he started in us as a church, and us as individuals, and he will keep it going until he's completed it. And so, as a result, the church should be the most exciting place in the world, really, because we have the all-powerful, all-loving God continually working and carrying out his good work here in places like this, like the church, and he's watching over that word until he sees it fulfilled. So the church should be a very dynamic place. I was thinking about this because he talks about this good work, you know, and how creation, when God created the world, he said, "This is good," you know. Imagine if you'd been there watching creation happen, you know. Just, maybe John, you can do a Discovery Channel documentary on this, you know. You can just, imagine if you were just there and there was this little bare planet thing, and then the waters parted. I mean, that would have been amazing in itself. And then just sort of things start popping out of the ground and, "What's that? Never seen a tree before, but that's a tree. Let's call it, you know, and God's, we're going to call that a tree." And then animals start appearing and forming. And, you know, that would have been an incredible thing to watch, right? Amazing, dynamic thing to be sort of observing, if nothing else. Or imagine another thing we don't really know what happened and how it happened, but imagine you had had a secret camera to watch what happened in the tomb when Jesus was resurrected. You know, we know he was buried, they buried him, then they rolled the stone, and then they came back the next day, and then he was not there, but he's been risen. But nobody actually saw him kind of come back to life, you know. But imagine if you'd been there and actually seen the kind of... That'd be incredible. Now, we can only imagine those things, but I think what this is saying to us, that in the church, something similar is happening in us, that his good work is continuing us and will continue in us and keeps continuing in us, and that this life is coming forth in all of us, and it's exciting. At least that should be how church should be. I think sometimes, church can be less than that if we don't allow God in to change us and to challenge us. So where the Spirit is leading and where the Word is active, church is a very dynamic place. And I pray we continue to grow in that. But I want to speak this to us as a church. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am watching over you to see that my words are fulfilled. Same kind of thing. So we're on a journey together. Some of you look a little bit worried. Don't worry, I'm not driving. It's okay. You're safe, but at the same time, it's God who's driving. And sometimes that is a little bit kind of, oh my goodness, what's going on here? You know. And I'm sure all of us can tell stories where you think, what is going on here? You know. As we journey with God. But knowing always we're in the Lord's hands, it's always a good thing. It says here, we all share in God's grace. I like that. Each one of us shares in God's grace and God's oncoming work. And then just to finish off with, I think a big part of that journey, a big part of the thing that God is doing in us, is growing in love. You can hear Paul, as he's writing to this church, he really loves his church. In verse 7 he says, I have you in my heart. And then in verse 8 he says, I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then he has a heartfelt prayer that the church itself grows in the love of God. And if you read verse 9, it says, my prayer is that your love may abound, that love may abound in you more and more, and knowledge and in depth of insight. And I do think a big part of the good work that God has started in us and that he will carry on to completion is us growing in God's love. On one hand, it's a very simple thing. You know, we would like to think, well, give me something a bit more technical, maybe, or a bit more involved or active. But actually, it's a very simple thing, but it's a very profound thing, to grow in God's love. When I went to Ashford last week, it was a strange thing. It's two things that were strange, actually. I did miss being here, I realised I do love you guys. And thinking about going on sabbatical, I've realised that one thing I struggle with most is just you, people. I won't necessarily miss having to deal with admin and emails and all that kind of stuff and just the day-to-day bits and pieces, you know, those kind of things. I could leave. But people, as the people, I miss. I know I miss. But I also found when I went to Ashford last week, I have a real love for those people at that church. And I said to Keith, the pastor, I'm not quite sure why. Because their service is a lot more traditional, a lot more formal than ours. They're very straight and quite conservative, really. So it's not the kind of church that I would personally choose as a person to go to, but I just love those people. Because I can't explain why. God has done something to give me a heart for them. So God is doing a good work. Where have I got to? I'm completely off piece. Yeah, so God will help us grow in his love in our hearts. And I think, a bit like I said at the beginning there, that when we start our Christian journey, we do receive some of God's love and we walk in that. But I think if God gave us all of his love in one go, definitely our hearts would explode. You know, we just wouldn't be able to cope with it. But we journey in growing in that. And Paul's prayer for the church is that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. This is a prayer for the church's love for God and for one another may widen and deepen, that it will grow richer and broader. I love that, that love would abound more and more. More and more. See, love isn't just a static thing. It's not just something we have or we don't have, but it's something that we can grow in and can intensify in us. It's something that can increase and can develop. More and more means it's something that God wants to carry on in us till completion. He started his love in us and his love for one another, but he wants us to abound in it more and more. He wants us to... His desire is that we would have a greater knowledge of himself and a greater insight. So he's not speaking about a blind love, you know, a kind of vague, oh yeah, I love, and with no kind of real understanding of anything, but he wants love to increase in knowledge and in insight. And I think love abounds more. The more we discover about God, the more our love for him will grow. So I'd encourage you, open your Bible. Discover more of him. Get more knowledge of him and your love will grow for him. When you gain a greater insight into who God is, love will increase. Just because that's who God is. And these things God is working in us. So I think he would desire us to our love of him to grow, but if you remember the two great commandments are to what? Love the Lord your God as your, and to love one another. Now that's a little bit more tricky, if I'm honest, because when we find out more about one another, maybe those things are more difficult to love one another. It's good to know more about God because you just think, well, God is amazing, I just love God, that's great. But then I find out, you know, more about Peter and I think, oh my goodness, you know, and he's the same way about me. But this is one of the great gospel works in us, I think, is that he gives us a love for one another. He almost gives us his love for each other. We share in his grace. We are a strange bunch when you look around the room. We're quite a mix of people, aren't we? You know. And but loving one another, I mean, I hope you can testify to this as well. We're brought together in the church and you realize that we love one another. How's that? Because if you were all the same as me, I could get it because I love myself. I mean, then I would love you, but we're all different. And what that is God working in us. But he doesn't want to just leave it where we're at. But he wants us to increase and abound in that love more and more. More and more. And so the reason being that love for one another is the key characteristic, one of the key characteristics anyway, of God's holy people. Jesus himself said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There was a guy called Tertullian who lived in the second century, and he spoke of this as well. He said he imagined pagans looking at Christians and saying, look how they love one another. For they themselves, the pagans, hate one another, and how they are ready to die for each other. And then he's speaking about the Christians, how they are ready to die for each other. And then he speaks to the pagans, for they themselves are readier to kill each other. And this world today, this is a sign of who we are as a church, to be a people that love one another. Not a static love, but a love that increases and intensifies and grows. And that's a work that God will do in us and will carry on till completion. So I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. As we see more of God, I think we will love him more. As we see more of God, we will actually love God's people more because we will see them and as he sees them. And he will transform us into his likeness. But I'm just going to by telling you a story of there's a friend of mine who has experienced this in a really intense way. I was when I heard this, it was only a few weeks ago I heard this, I was kind of like, wow, I thought, this is powerful. So this guy, he was waiting, anyone relate to this? Waiting for his wife at the end of a church service, and was getting quite frustrated that he was waiting for his wife at the end of the church service. Some people can relate to this. So he was waiting, waiting. Eventually, he decided to go into the service and see why it was taking so long. And he found that people were being really ministered to by the Lord. The Holy Spirit was moving and people were receiving prayer. And it was obviously something was happening for different people. So this guy was quite convicted then that actually he'd been really frustrated that God was taking his time in the church service, and, you know, effectively. It wasn't his wife was being slow, it was actually God was being slow. And so he did. He repented there and then. He felt terrible. He repented. And by the way, I mean, there's another example of how church isn't just a static thing. You know, you don't necessarily turn up at one time and leave at another. You know, God does think. He moves. But there we are. He was convicted. He repented. And I suppose he repented that he was frustrated that God was doing stuff at the end of the day, and so he repented that. And then he said to me, I felt this intense burning sensation in my chest. He said, which lasted for over a week. And he said, then every time I looked at people, I just had this intense love for people that it was almost like I couldn't get rid of. And that carried on. He said the burning sensation has gone, but that deep love for people has carried on. And I was just like, wow, I've never heard anything like that. I've heard of people feeling things when they've received the healing. You know, when people say, oh, their back has been healed, they feel some kind of sensation or some kind of deliverance where something has left them, people said, but I've never heard of that kind of testimony where someone has said, I just felt this intense burning and God's love came on for other people. I'm just sharing it with you because I think I want us to open the horizons of how deep the Father's love is for us. We sing that song. And how much He wants us to grow in that love for one another. Because I think we're all right. Actually, we get on quite well, and we seem to love each other. It's good, you know. But I'm not, there's no way we want to change that. But I think there's so much more for us. To the point where the Holy Spirit can come and bring radical change. I mean, this only just—I guess that was the power of repentance in this story. This guy repented, and things changed. But don't limit the amount of God in our life. Don't limit the amount of His love in your life. Because Paul's prayer is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, fulfilled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so, I encourage you in that. And just one final thing, because I wanted to speak to us personally as a church. You know, the church started 100 years ago because one man loved some poor children. You remember, you know the story? The church started because there were some children who didn't have the right clothes to go to church. And so our church started as a result of one man saying, well, let's do church for you guys, wearing as you are. He loved them more than he loved the way church was working. Now that's how the church started. God started a good work here. But I pray for us that our heart for those who are disadvantaged, those who are poor, those who are on the edge of our society, would continue and increase. That God would carry on that good work. It wasn't just a story that's a nice story. Oh, that's a nice story. We can tell that one. But actually, in each one of us, and in all of us, that continuation of God's love for those who are marginalized in our neighborhood would continue. And I would confess and but also joyously admit, for me, I'm just so enjoying now getting to know some of the folk locally who are in need. Whereas before, if I'm honest, it'd be like, they're okay, but just keep them up. It's easier just to, easier, isn't it, just to be removed from the difficulties that surround us. But I just, God has given me a heart, and I pray he gives us all more and more of a heart. And it's only a little bit. We can all grow in it. Because God is continuing that good work he started. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us. That once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. You've called us to be your holy people. And that we as the church, your church, can say, we are God's holy people. And I pray if we're not there yet personally, let even right now that you administer to us, that we can say, yes, we are a part of a holy people. We are part of God's people. Come, Holy Spirit, and enable us to better be confident in who we are as your people, your church. And Lord, as we read these verses, Lord, about how we can grow and how you are doing something in us that you are carrying on, we ask, come, Lord, and continue that work. We take hold of this promise and this statement to us that you are carrying on that good work in us, carrying it on day by day, inwardly being renewed. I pray, do that in us, and where that is us growing in your love, come now and move amongst us. Let us grow in love for you, and let us grow in love for one another. We dare to even ask, come Holy Spirit, and bring powerful manifestations of your love to us. Beyond what we would expect, beyond what we would know is possible, but give us your love. For God so loved the world. God is love. This is who you are. Continue to transform us into your likeness. And bring power in and through it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I just want to pray finally as well, before as we carry on and we go and have our meal together, that the love and the joy and the fellowship we share together just be filled with your presence and filled with you with us. We celebrate you as we eat together. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.